Praise God. Thank you, Father, again today for the privilege. And oh, what a privilege it is to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift up our voices in prayer and praise and adoration and thanksgiving and song unto you for your loving kindnesses and tender mercies which are ours. Thank you for your precious, holy, written word. And thank you again today for the great, mighty, Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to indwell us, to be our teacher. We trust him to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the word of God unto our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Our golden text for this series is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, there's a lot in this verse that we'll get around to some of it later on, but right at the moment, we're just looking at this part. Praying always with all prayer, or another translation said, praying with all manner of prayer, or all kinds of prayer. And of course, all manner of prayer and all kinds of prayer are included in the all prayer that he speaks of here in King James translation. And so we just simply lift that out of context for study at the moment. And I've begun to talk about the different kinds of praying mentioned in the Bible, particularly the New Testament. And we talked about the prayer of faith. We certainly didn't exhaust the subject, but we just presented some facts relative to the praying, the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith, or the prayer of petition, or the prayer to change things, which is all of them comes under that one heading. And then we talked about the prayer of agreement. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you see, that is prayer. It is asking of the Father, isn't it? Then we talked about the prayer of consecration, our submission or dedicating ourselves to God's will. And then we talked about the prayer of commitment or casting our cares, committing our cares or casting our cares upon the Lord. For the scripture said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, how are you going to cast them upon him? Through prayer, in prayer. You see, that's really what Philippians is saying, Philippians 4:6, when he said, in nothing be anxious, or be careful for nothing, as King James says. Another translation said, do not fret, have any anxiety about anything. Now, see, he's talking about you and things that you may be fretting about or things you may be anxious about. See, that's what we need to do, is analyze the situation. I think what we do, just jump into prayer and sort of mix them all up together. And that's the reason we don't get results a lot of time. Are you listening to me now? In other words, we're sort of praying in general instead of just being specific about it. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, what kind of prayer works here? Well, right here he's talking about evidently you and your needs. Because you see, I'm not the least bit anxious. You know, I'm concerned. We're concerned about one another. We know that. But I'm not the least bit anxious or worried or fretting about Keith's needs, because I don't even know what they are. You can't worry about something you don't know what it is. See what I mean? No, he's talking about you as an individual. Of course, it applies to all of us generally, but yet, things that you're prone to fret about or to be overly anxious about. Isn't that the same thing Peter was talking about when he said, casting all your care? So do not fret, have any anxiety about anything. But what are you going to do about those things that you're prone to fret about, have anxiety about, worry about? In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. He's talking about you and your request. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now again, like I said, you can take texts like Dr. Hicks said, you can take texts out of the setting and make the Bible say anything you want it to say. But you see, Like, for instance, we talked about the prayer of agreement. It wouldn't hurt touching on a little bit here. I know some people. You see, what they do is take it out of their text. You're not going to be able to agree on things that don't belong to you. You see where the other person's involved on the situation. You've got to get them in agreement. Now, for instance, I know some people in time past, see, in hearing teaching on this, maybe we didn't make it clear enough, or else they just fastened on part of it. And here, two of them are sort of going to frame up on the other person and agree that that person's going to do so and so. And if we agree now, they've got to do it. That's a little bit far-fetched. Because if we could do that, me and Keith would get together and agree that all y'all give us a $100 bill apiece. But I don't hardly think that would work. I don't think that would work. Are you following me? So you understand that you can take these texts and so on and so forth out of the setting and put them over somewhere else and they don't fit. Amen? Amen. See, that has to be agreeing on something that both are concerned about and interested in. And you get over to the other fellow, you're going to have to get him in agreement with you. Amen? Amen. So you're going to have to get them in agreement with you. See, how can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, you can't push something off on somebody else just because you pray and believe God or because you two are in agreement. We're going to push this off on them. No, you're not going to do that. But you see, what we've done is you just sort of mixed it all up together and shook it all up together and poured it all out together. And it's brought confusion a lot of time. Now, we need to ask ourselves the question a lot of time, when whatever needs arises, what kind of prayer works here? And like I said, back to my original illustration, don't try to play a baseball game with football rules. You get confused. Well, then we left off talking about, we'll pick up there again today, about the prayer, and there is a kind of prayer, of worship and praise, are ministering unto the Lord. Now we looked at Acts real quick and we'll look at it again real quickly. There in that 13th chapter of Acts, there we're in the church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, mentions the names of five men. And then it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Well, now just how do you minister to the Lord? Well, in praise and worship and song. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the Bible said, we'll come back to Acts here in just a moment. But now, for instance, notice here, we'll go back to the book of Ephesians again. We were just there. And in the 6th chapter, so we'll go back to the 5th chapter. Notice the 18th verse of the 5th chapter says, and be not drunk with the wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I think another analogy would be here. He's used this as, in other words, instead of being drunk on wine, be drunk on the Spirit. Amen. You see, you can be so filled with the Holy Ghost to just get drunk. Yes. Amen. Now notice the characteristics or notice the marks or the results, whatever you want to say, of being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the, what's the next word?
Lord.
Well, wouldn't that be ministering to the Lord? Hallelujah. Now notice the next verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you come right back to giving thanks, worshiping Him, ministering to Him. Hallelujah. Notice how that giving thanks and speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're doing it also unto the Lord. Now notice this, what Paul said. Notice something very interesting. Go back to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Notice to each one of these churches, using different words, but bringing forth the same principle, exhibiting the same thought. Notice what he said in the 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, 14th and 15th verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the spirit, I'll sing with the understanding. You notice how he connects singing and praying together? You notice that? Amen? Praise God. So, notice also, look at another scripture here. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians. You see, here's something that he said to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Corinth. Notice, in principle, it's the same thing. He uses a little different word sometime, goes in a little more detail. Notice the 16th verse of the third chapter. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, did you notice something in these two sections of Scripture? Writing to the Ephesians, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Now, in other words, what he means is just like that, just like for instance, you talk to yourself a lot of time. And really, in a sense, you're not talking to yourself. You're talking about a situation that exists. You say sometimes, you know what I mean? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It looks like you're talking to yourself, but it actually says you're making melody to the Lord. Now here he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now see, the other was to you, this is to one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, no, singing. With grace in your heart. Notice again, to the Lord. To the Lord. So what would you think that these five men were doing in ministering to the Lord? See, Paul was one of them. He writes this later on. Amen? Well, you see, they may have been singing and to themselves, as they all prayed, you know, and then maybe ministering to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in the midst of it, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. See what I'm talking about? See, there is a kind of praying over here where we're not praying to change anything. We haven't got any petition. We're not praying the prayer of faith. We're not praying the prayer of agreement. We're not praying the prayer of commitment or casting our cares on the Lord. Amen. We're just ministering to the Lord, or we could put it another way, waiting on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So on and so forth. And so there is a real blessing over here in this area. And perhaps we're remiss in that area. Amen. Now there's another thought here in this 16th verse of Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If the word of Christ does not dwell in you richly in all wisdom, then you're not going to be able to fulfill the rest of the verse as you should. If the word of Christ could dwell in you, must dwell in you richly with all wisdom, then the word of Christ could dwell in you without wisdom. Amen? You see, the thing about it is that just like over in the natural realm, you may have knowledge along a certain line, but if you don't use that knowledge in wisdom, it can do more harm than good. Same thing's true over in the spirit realm. We need to realize that. But anyway, we wanted to bring out the fact that there is a kind of praying of, we could call it worship, we could call it ministering to the Lord, praise. As I said to you before, I read years ago, don't know who said it, where it came from, that praise is the highest type of prayer. And when we realize that prayer, among other things, one definition of prayer is fellowshipping with the Father. And so when you praise Him, of course, you are fellowshipping with Him. Now then, we called your attention to the fact, and let's reiterate that before we go further, how that thanksgiving and praise all go together hand in hand, don't they? Notice how that thanksgiving and prayer or praise is all hooked together. Like, for instance, again, that verse there in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And again, like Paul was writing to, while I'm talking, you turn back again to 16th chapter of Acts where we left off, and we'll pick up there again. But there in 2 Timothy, you remember, Paul writing to Timothy said, I exhort therefore that first of all prayers, supplications, intercessions, now notice, and giving of thanks. Notice in these verses, every time he puts prayer, supplication, intercession, prayer, in other words, first, then giving of thanks afterwards. Or we could say praise. Now we have a picture of that here. We got a picture of that here in this 16th chapter of Acts. Let's read it again, starting with the 23rd verse, talking about Paul and Silas in jail at Philippi. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled, because he knew that's what would happen to him. So he's going to commit suicide. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Hallelujah. Now, thank God for all the glorious results. But you see, a lot of time people said, well, yeah, but now that was Paul and Silas, and they were apostles. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but Silas later on in the New Testament is called an apostle also. They were apostles. Isn't that wonderful what happened to them? But yet the Word of God tells you exactly how it was brought about. And at midnight, they prayed and sang praises. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises. So again, you see how that praying and praising God or giving thanks is linked together. Notice this, that they prayed, but nothing happened till they praised. Did you notice that? They prayed, but nothing happened till they praised. See, we have a lot of praying, but we need to also have a lot of praising. Amen. Notice that the praising, they sang praises to God. See, most people pray and then they worry. How are we going to get out of this mess? Boy, I'm sure hurting. Don't you know their backs were hurting, bleeding? Don't you know they're uncomfortable? They can't move. Their feet's in stocks. You've seen pictures of those old stocks, haven't you? They're made fast. That means they're tight. They're tied. They're feet. They can't move. They're in one position. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? I said, isn't it? They'd have every reason in the world to fret. Every reason in the world. But no, they've prayed. Now then they're singing praises to God. Because you see, they believe God. What are you supposed to be singing praises for? Because God didn't hear them? No, because they believe he did hear them. Hallelujah. Nothing happened though. They prayed, but nothing happened until they praised. I remember I was holding a meeting in Overton, Texas, in March of 1943. And we went out one day, the pastor and myself, his wife, to have noon meal with one of his parishioners. And as we sat at the table and talked, she said to me, Brother Higgins said, I understand something now since you've been here teaching that see, sometimes some things will work for you and you don't know for sure just why it did work. Amen. I remember the last church I had, you see, and you understand now that's 46 through 49. And I had a radio because, see, they hadn't made too many now. Well, of course, time you got over 49 didn't make any during the war. So this was predated 1941. You know, and just these tubes, you know. And so that radio didn't work. Well, I took the tubes out and took them down to a place because they had a tester. They could test them yourself. And all of them said they were good. So I put them all back in, turned the thing on, still didn't work. See, I've got it out of the case, you know. And so I turned the thing up. Don't know what I'm doing. Turned the thing up, you know, look on the bottom. You got all these wires, you know, that are soldered one thing and another. So I got a screwdriver down there, you know, and touched this and touched that. Got the thing plugged in, which you shouldn't have, right? You know, and directly I touched something and the thing just blared out, you see, because it's on. I mean, it just blared out. It's on. It's working. Well, I let it sit there, you know, and turn it off and on. It just come on, just worked fine. So I put it back in this case. Put it in the place where it was and worked for months. One day I turned it on, didn't come on. Well, I tested all the tubes. They'd all tested good, everything good. Now, one of them did a little weak, so I just went ahead and bought one, put it in. It's still good enough to go, but it wasn't up, so, but it wouldn't come on. Well, I said, what did I do before? I don't know what I did. Amen. See what I mean? So I touched everything, you know, got my screwdriver. And, you know what I mean? But somewhere or another, I just didn't touch it in the right way or something because it never did work, never did get the thing on. I think sometimes spirit's the same thing. The thing worked and we don't know for sure why it worked. So this lady said to me, she saw a lot that way, said, I'm beginning to see something now. See, somebody got her to do something, she don't know why she did it. Now, her husband was sitting there at the table eating with us. He was not at that time saved or Christian. Now, he'd come to church with her every night. Did during my meeting. A little while after then, I understand he got born again for years and was in the church. But she said to me, and her husband had a good responsible position with the oil company. But she said, I had asthma. And you got to know now that we're in the early 40s, you see, and she had had asthma for 14 years. So that would go back to 1929 when I guess she found out she had it. And all through the 30s. And so she said, my husband spent $10,000. Now, $10,000 don't sound big now, but $10,000, brother, depression days a fortune. $10,000 on me. Sent me, you know, to the clinic here in Tyler, down to Shreveport and up to Dallas, and could take some medication, but nothing cured it. She didn't get any better. Well, finally, she said, Brother Raymond T. Ritchie came with his tent here, 1937. You see, well, actually, 14 years, we go back beyond the 47s. But she said, Brother Ritchie came with his tent, Now, he's a healing evangelist. So I got in the healing line, and when I got to him, he said, Sister, bound to know it by revelation, know how you know it the other way. He said, because like she said, everybody, in those days, you know, they had healing evangelists in those days, and everybody had prayed for her. She's still not healed, still not well. And so he said, when I got to Brother Rich, he said, Sister, everybody in the country's prayed for you. You've been prayed for over and over and over again. She said, no telling how many. Every evangelist we had in the church laid hands on her. Then the healing evangelist. He said, I'm not even going to pray for you. He said, will you do what I tell you to do? I said, I will if it's easy. See, everybody's looking for something easy. He said, well, from this moment on, just thank God for your healing. Well, she said, told me, in my ignorance, I said, well, I can't do that. I'm not healed yet. So he didn't have time to preach her a sermon, but he got her located, what he said. He said to her, you can thank God for the word, can't you? The word of God, the Bible. Oh, yeah, I can thank God for the word. Said, you understand, you know, don't you, that the word says you are healed, not going to be are, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, yeah, I've read that. All right, said, say this from now on. According to the word of God, I'm healed. Praise God. I thank God for the word. The word says I'm healed. Praise God. At least you can thank God for the word, you see. And he said, now go to sleep saying that and get up saying it. If you wake up in the nighttime, say it. If you're at home, if you're on the job, but don't say it out loud, say it to yourself. But if you're at home by yourself, you know, doing housework, well, just say it out loud every time you think of it. And he said, see to it that you do think of it. Well, she said, I can do that. I can thank God for his word. And I did know that the word said that. And so she said, I started doing that. I mean, the last thing I'd do before I'd go to sleep every night was say, thank God for the word. According to the word of God, I'm healed. Thank God for the word. And just go to sleep saying that. If I happened to wake up in the nighttime, I'd go to saying it till I went back to sleep. First thing in the morning. And then she said, of course, my husband was out to work. He worked in oil field. I was at home. I got the children off to school. And she said, I was sweeping the floor. I'd think of it. I'd say, thank God, according to the word, I'm healed. Thank God for the word. Praise God for the word. Hallelujah. Well, that's giving thanksgiving and praise, isn't it? And she said, I got so taken up doing that, sweeping the floor, ironing, cooking, whatever. I got so taken up by praising God and thanking God for the word and saying the word says I'm healed. Thank God for the word. Until one day I said to my husband, now he was sitting right there. And she said, I said to him, you know, I don't know how long it's been since I've had an asthmatic attack. And said he, well, in fact, he spoke up right then and said, I said to her, I do. I've been watching every day. It's been 30 days. Now, these 30 days have stretched into these years. Never had another attack. Hallelujah. I'm well satisfied. I'm going to say it again. That a lot of folks, if they just quit praying and start praising God, wouldn't be long for things to happen. I remember I heard one of the old timers, I guess you'd say, in the Pentecostal movement. He came in way back 100 years ago. And I heard him say that he said he started preaching when he was just a teenager, about 17. And so he went to a church to hold a revival, youth revival. The pastor, while he was there in this revival, they were just having night services, the pastor was called away to preach a funeral in a church that he had formerly pastored. So he went back there, had to drive by automobile. He can't get back for the night service. And so they went on with their services. And he just stayed in the pastorate. The pastor's wife also had a son who was about the same age he was. In the nighttime, they received a call. The pastor's wife received a call. One of their parishioners, their baby, were having seizures. Had a high fever. It went into spasms or seizures. And so they called for prayer. Well, the pastor is gone. Small church. Back in those days, usually, you didn't have usually one man That's about it. Didn't have a youth pastor and an assistant pastor. You'd have to have an awful big church. In fact, back in those days, I saw people, you know, that had 500 and 600. They're the only preacher there. No assistants. They took care of all of them. A lot of folks could do it today if it wasn't so lazy. Some of these little old churches got 200 in attendance, 250. Got 7 people on their staff. Just wasting God's money. We ought to be good stewards of God's money. Don't mind me taking a little side journey, do you? Well, it's good anyway. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
So this pastor's wife, she's not a preacher herself. She is in the ministry with her husband, but she's not called to the ministry. So she got this young fellow up because he's a preacher, you see. At least he's got license. He's not ordained at that young age. You shouldn't ordain youngsters like that. They're not ready to be ordained. Amen. They do need credentials. And so she got him up to go with her. So they went to this home. Well, he's the preacher, you see, even if he is just a teenager. So they leave it up to him to sort of take the lead. So all he knows to do is what he's seen others do. So he said, I anointed the child's in a seizure there, having these spasms or whatever. I anointed the child with oil, laid hand on the child, rebuked the devil, said everything I'd ever heard anybody else say, you know, and nothing happened. And I ran out of anything to say. I'd said most all of them over 3 or 4 times anyway, and just stopped. And the child's still in the seizure. And so we just, I didn't know what to do, he said. And he said, suddenly, the pastor's wife just began to sing praises. Not any sing any particular song, but just sing out praises. See, you can put it in song, sing song fashion. Glory to God, glory to God, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. And she just began to sing praises.
Amen.
Not say praises, sing praises.
Yes.
Amen. See, you can do either one. Amen?
Amen.
But see, when you're happy, you usually sing.
Amen.
When you really believe God, you sing about.
Amen.
Not just say them out.
Amen.
When you say them out, you're usually just aping and imitating somebody else and don't know for sure.
Amen.
Amen. So she just began to sing praises to God. And he said, one by one, we all picked it up, began to sing with her. Some particular song? No, just singing praises. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And while we were singing, suddenly the seizure stopped. Well, we just went ahead and worshiped God for a while. Had a big time among ourselves. Glory to God. And then stood around talking some. And suddenly the child went back into another seizure. Well, he said, I went through the same procedure. I anointed it again. Laid hands on the child, rebuked the devil, said everything I could think of than anybody else I'd ever heard anybody say. Nothing happened. But again, the pastor's wife began to sing praises. We all picked them up, one by one, began to sing praises. Suddenly the seizure stopped to never return.
The
child was completely healed. I think there's a truth there that we probably need to attach ourselves to. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And at midnight. Everybody say at midnight.
At midnight.
That's Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God.
Amen.
I'm going to reiterate. It's so important. I know and believe that it's really talking about the midnight hour. But I believe also that it can be symbolic. You know, it may seem like it's midnight in your life. This tells you what to do. Run around and get everybody you can to sympathize with you. Tell everybody you meet what a hard time you're having. No. Pray and sing praises to God. Hallelujah. Now, here's another proof text. Here's another proof text that you know well, but it won't hurt us to look at it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go back again to the Old Testament, to 2 Chronicles. You know the story. We don't have to go into great detail about it. But you see, the same principle, that's what I want you to see, is the same principle is involved of praying and singing praises to God. Hallelujah. More and more I think about that testimony I gave you about the Assembly of God missionary there years ago that on the foreign field contracted smallpox. Isolated her to keep her away from others that don't want it to spread, you know, because it's contagious. And she's praying, seeking God, and had this vision. You've seen those old-fashioned scales, at least a picture of them, you know. And the petition part of it was all full, just weighted down. The praise part over here was way up here, not much. And she heard a voice say, when the praise matches the petition, the request will be granted. So she just praised God, nothing else. Now, I know he's praying anymore. It's too much prayer on there now. It's all weighted down. I think that's where we are today. But praised and praised and praised and praised and praised. Hallelujah. And was perfectly healed. And every pock disappeared off of her body. Not a scar left. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Well, here's the situation. You'll notice here that the scripture said it came to pass. This is 20th chapter, 2 Chronicles now. After this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now I want you to notice that Jehoshaphat called people to prayer, to seek the Lord. Now notice. Let's notice the third verse. Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God? Now this is his prayer. He prayed. And we'll not go into all of it because we got it there. You can read it for yourself. Now notice, skip down to the 14th verse. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mathaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Hallelujah. If we could realize that, it would help us exceedingly, wouldn't it? The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation. Now the Hebrew word translated salvation is also translated deliverance. See the deliverance of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now then, let's notice, skip down to the 20th verse. And they rose early in the morning, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. See, they still got to believe what God said, or it's not going to work. Amen? You mind taking another little side journey here? We'll get back to the main line here in a minute, or what we're really talking about. Notice what he said. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his holy prophets, so shall you prosper. See, that didn't happen just because this man, the Spirit of God, came and he got up and prophesied. Well, it's no use us doing anything. He prophesied deliverance. We'll just wait for the Lord to deliver us. See, the Word of God's given us by the Holy Ghost. You know it don't work unless you act on it, unless you believe it. Same way, if one may speak by the Spirit of God, it won't happen just because the prophet said it. Are you seeing what I'm saying to you? See, believe in his holy prophets, so shall you prosper. If you don't believe in it, you won't prosper in it. A lot of people say, well, I wonder why that didn't come to pass. I thought that was, you know. Well, I'll tell you why it didn't. You didn't believe it.
Amen.
Either one of the two things, either wasn't right or else you didn't believe it. It won't happen just because it was prophesied. Sure got some of you thinking, don't I? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
See, they still had their part to play. What if they hadn't played their part? There wouldn't have been any battle won. Even though the battle is the Lord's, they didn't have to fight, but they did have to do what God wanted them to do. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, talking about Jehoshaphat, he appointed singers. You know, there that word sing or singers is again. You ever notice that? You know, there we looked at New Testament, singing and connection with praying and worshiping God. All right, singers unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. Singers. See, that's just what they sing. They didn't sing some song. They just sing these praises. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. Praise the Lord. They're singing that, not just saying it, singing it. Now notice, and when they began to sing and to, what's the next word?
Praise.
Praise. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now back again, Paul and Silas in jail, and at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. Notice that no victory came, nothing happened till they began to praise. Notice here the same principle, the same thing. They've got a word from God, all right. Amen. They prayed. We got Jehoshaphat's prayer here. They were all evidently seeking the Lord. They all evidently fasted. They stood before the Lord, the Bible said. If you'll not read on down there, it said with their wives, the men with their wives and the little children stood before the Lord. But nothing happened till they began to sing and to praise. Did it? In other words, the answer did not come. The victory, we could say, did not come. The enemy was not defeated. Let's say it another way. The enemy was not defeated. Even though they've got the promise of it. They did have the promise of it, didn't they? Isn't that what the prophet said? Battle's not yours, it's the Lord. Even though they've got the promise of it, the victory did not come until they began to sing and to praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now notice what happened. And when they began to sing and to praise, so singing and praising and thanksgiving all go hand in hand. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Praise God. Hallelujah. When they began to sing and to praise, amen, they got so much they couldn't take it all home with them. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Well, stand up and praise Him. Stand up and just praise God. Praise God for the answer to your prayer. Praise God for the answer to your prayer. You've been praying, now praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. We praise your Lord. Name me, I'm Radona Chan, Rafa, Rafi, Kirifi, and Nakalahana. Yes, the call of Tori Hannah. Yeah, the call of Tori Hannah. Yeah, the call of Tori Hannah. Prati Hannah Moyenis. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, they began to sing and to praise. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, go your way singing in your heart to the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.